I know I heard the groans of people when they read the bulletin saying I was going to be here again next Sunday. I just want you to know, I realize it's not because I'm a good preacher, it's just I'm cheap. Huh? You know, our youngest daughter, Lori, is struggling with cancer. When she first got it, I guess it was almost 2 years ago, her son and daughter-in-law were in the process of having a child. It would be the first child from her son. And she was pronounced as having this cancer with only a few weeks to live. And the church got together where we were attending, and we had prayer for her. And her next visit to the doctor for her treatment, they realized that the cancer was gone out of her head and out of her lungs, and she had started getting stronger, had gotten off the oxygen, was really living a almost normal life, other than they kept trying to kill her with those chemo treatments and about starved her to death, that stuff. But she lived, and still living, but she lived long enough to see that grandchild born, and that was one of her strongest desires at the time. She wanted to see that baby, as most grandmothers would. She is a fantastic young lady. Well, young compared to us old folks. She's turned 60 this year or so. But we talk a lot together and share the thoughts that we don't really know what God's plans are for any of us. None of us know really just when God will call us home, and we talk about that, and I encourage her. I said, I know that we want to live out a long life and see our family, our children, our grandchildren. We want to see those kinds of things, but I said, God has something even more grand than that waiting for us, waiting for you. And so she is it just blows your mind to think that someone going through this, realizing that maybe her day will end today, and yet be so glad to be alive with such a testimony that it makes me think, you know, I need more of that kind of attitude. I need more of that kind of spirit in my own life to be able to face the troubles of life and just pick them up and carry them along, you know, without the fear of what's going to happen later. This good-looking young man, and I say good-looking because they say he looks like me. He's my grandson, our grandson, and he comes in to spy on me once in a while, and always glad to have him. You know, this morning I want to kind of continue on the theme that we had last week, and I know some of you responded that you appreciated the message, and I'm glad of that. But it's not my message; it's God's message, and I want you to understand that. It's not necessarily my thoughts, but it's God's thoughts, and it's been placed in this book for us. I didn't write the book. If I'd have written that thing, I'd have been older than I am now. But there's a, if we can get in our mind somehow that the church is God's idea, it's not our idea, It's not man's idea. It's God's idea. And that we who are Christians ought to feel at least compelled to be a part of that, because it's identified in scriptures as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and that makes it really special in God's eyes. And there are things that God has made available to us, the church, to further this message, to create in the body of Christ life, not decay, not death, not darkness, but life and light. If you got your Bible, just go back to Acts chapter 1. I want to read this to you this time. I didn't read it last time. I want to read it this time. In chapter 1 of the book of Acts, Luke is writing, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do." Well, each, I better put my glasses on, I'm running out. I can't see what I'm saying. If I can get them on. Oh, there it is. "To do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, and after he had suffered, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive." Can you say that? Jesus is alive. He is alive. "He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' He said to them, 'It is not for you,'" well, they were wondering about him coming back, "'but you will receive power.'" How come it is that when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit empowering us to become witnesses in our world, we draw back as though some monster is going to take over our lives and we're going to be ridiculed why is it? It should be something that we desire to be a part of. I know I've got family, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, brothers and sisters. I've got people in my family. Some are saved, some aren't. But if God doesn't allow me to speak to them about their souls and about heaven and hell, who will? The gift of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to be witnesses wherever we are. And some people think, well, yeah, but it's not for me. That doesn't mean me. But if you look at at the prophecy in Acts chapter 2, you'll find out that this Spirit was to be poured out in the last days upon all people. In other words, you don't have to feel as though you're left out of God's plan to reach this world. It's God's desire, it's his will that all would be saved. He wants everyone that he has created and brought into life in this world, he wants them to be saved. He wants you and me to be saved. You see, he created us in his likeness and in his image for the purpose of fellowship. He wants a relationship with us like father and son, like father and daughter. And this outpouring of the Holy Spirit was something new to this group of people because they realized that God had done something for them. Didn't make them look like monsters or act like monsters. But it put something in their spirit and in their heart that challenged them to go out into their world, into their homes, and share the love of Christ, that Jesus died for them. Well, some people have said that these gifts of the Spirit were for the olden days, the old church, the old time, the Pentecostal time, the Bible times, and yet the Scripture says there that we who are baptized will be filled, will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, your children, your grandchildren, and those people beyond, including us, you know. Some of you are a little far beyond the others, but this thing wasn't just for the old church, it's for the new church. It's for the present church. These things that we read about in the Bible, they are things that have almost been lost completely out of the lives of our churches. The gifts of the Spirit, you know, the prophecy, the knowledge, the wisdom, the faith, the working of miracles, the speaking in other languages, the interpretation of those languages, all these things were a part of the life of the church in its earliest form. And nowhere that I found in the Bible is it said they're supposed to stop. And I can remember in some of the churches where we've pastored how there was a manifestation of the Spirit of God in those services. And we would be in church like we are today, and all of a sudden there would be this I don't know how you explain it, this sense of some presence. And of course it was a presence of God, and fortunately for the people in those services I went, I couldn't preach. They were glad for that. But there was a presence of God so powerful that people began to respond, crying out, some confessing, some coming to the altar. I remember one church where we were pastoring, and that evening service, we weren't even actually in revival at the time, but in our church, there was such a move of God in that church that evening, while I was standing behind the pulpit, I was reading the bulletin, the announcements in the bulletin, and suddenly the back door of the church comes swung open, and here come two elderly people actually running, came to the altar, fell down on their knees at the altar, and began to cry out to God, "Forgive us, save us." That's God. Now, I'm not a college learned preacher. I don't know all the fancy stuff and all the ins and outs of preaching, and I think because I was so ignorant, that's a story in itself, that God was allowed me and allowed us to see these things work in our churches and the churches where we went, and I'm telling you that I believe, and I still believe in those miraculous movements of God. I still believe that God wants to infiltrate. Hey, I've got a friend. Infiltrate our churches to the point where we are overflowing, filled with His presence. I mean, that we would feel His presence. How many came to church today so you could get something from God? Huh? Well, I'm going to eat that guy pretty soon. But how many of you realize that we need to be coming to church to give God something? You see, the Bible says, Paul says that our bodies are a living sacrifice to God. That we should bring that sacrifice to God and offer it up to Him, a sweet smelling aroma in His nostrils. There should be in our churches that move of the Spirit, that when we come into the sanctuary of our churches, we should be able to sense the presence of God. You know, we had just finished building a church dedicated to the Lord, and that Sunday I came to church early, and I walked in through the doors of the church and sat down in that seat on the back row, and I'm telling you, I was so overcome with God's presence. My heart was beating so hard because I felt like I swore if I would have opened my eyes, I would have seen Him, that God's presence. Some of the churches we've seen, we would see the manifestation of these spiritual gifts. There would be people that would stand up in the middle of the service and give a word to the church. I mean, there used to be a boldness in the Christians, a boldness to reveal their love for God and to share that with others and not be held back because of fear. You see, fear is a weapon of the devil. But perfect love casts out fear. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and fear is gone. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I would like to see our churches move back, begin to invite God, not just word, but in spirit, to come and visit us. Well, I'm thankful for one thing. A couple years ago, we drove to Hannibal every day to pastor, to preach down there, to just interim work in the church there in Hannibal, Missouri. And that first Sunday that we came into the church, had, I don't know, 20 or 30 people in the congregation at that time. And I was just getting ready to preach, and the stairway come up into the sanctuary. And on that back wall, back there, was a pew just right up against the wall. And this lady come up from the stairs and got up on that pew, just stretched out, laid down on that pew. Yeah. I thought, this ought to be interesting, you know. I'm afraid that's almost the story of a lot of our churches. We just come to church, just kind of lay down there, get comfy. You probably won't ask me back next Sunday, but my problem is this. And I love everybody that calls himself a Christian. I even love some that aren't. But I think we feel like we've done our job when we come and sit in a pew on Sunday morning. We've done it. That's all we need to do. I made my move to God. Come and sat in a pew. Made at least 3 times last month. Yeah. How about you? Is that all it is to you? No wonder you're voting on a new preacher. Can't there be more than that in our churches today? Can't we still believe that God is God? Can't we still believe that He is all-powerful, almighty? Can't we still believe that He can come into our lives and change us, make us new people, take out the old? Why don't we act like it? Used to, back in the olden days, they'd say amen when some preacher said something like that. I hear more old me's than I do old men. Amen. Oh, me. Oh, get out of here. You know, I would really, really like to see this church, every church, I would really like to see a revival take place. I would really like to see a church come together as a whole and say, we want more of God. Pour out your Spirit on us, O God. Jesus told the apostles, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the gift of my Father. That waiting is a time of yielding. It's a time of asking God, Lord, come into my heart. Cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me from head to toe. Take all of the vile stuff away and fill me with the perfect love of God. Make me a vessel, Lord, to be used, not one to be trashed, but one to be used. I mean, we don't have to do fantastic things. We don't have to make a name for ourselves. In fact, we shouldn't be. But we can serve the Lord with all of our heart. We can serve Him in many ways. And if we ask God to come and fill us with His Spirit and to show us, Lord, how He can use us and let Him gift us in the way that He wants to, the gifts of the Spirit and the works of the Spirit and the service of the Spirit are all from the same God. He gives some the gifts to evangelize, to go out into the world. He gives some the gift to minister within the congregation, within the church. Let's see, I'm supposed to preach next week. I want to see a different church next week. Not that you're not a good bunch of people. I enjoy being here. But I want to see a different people here next week. I want to see people who've said, I've been seeking the Lord. I want more of God. I'm not satisfied sitting on the fence. I want to be filled with His Holy Spirit so I can please Him in all that I do. Nola's going to bring us a closing song. And I'm going to ask for some commitment after this song. Well, I pushed my glasses on. There we go, stand.
Would you stand, please? This is a prayer. Make it your prayer today.
Holy Spirit, flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. And make my life what it ought to be. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Holy Spirit, rest on me. Holy Spirit, rest on me. And use me, Lord, to win the lost to Thee. Holy Spirit, rest on me. Holy Spirit, flow out through me. Spirit, flow out through me, that others, Lord, may see You in me. Holy Spirit, flow out through me. Spirit, flow out through me. Holy Spirit, flow out through me, that others, Lord, may see You in me. Spirit, flow out through me.
Lord, we've asked for that favor this morning, that You would allow Your Spirit to touch us in a way that maybe we've never been touched before. That we would sense that presence, that flowing out as rivers of living water from us into the lives of the lost and the hurting world that we live in. Make us a light, Lord, to shine. Make us a witness, Lord, to speak and to live before a broken world. Lord, we pray this morning for each one here, Lord, that their lives would be changed. Changed to glorify You. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, shake hands, be friendly, love one another.